Welcome to the Dildork, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex blogger, a sex journalist, and I am not on testosterone. Fun facts about me. Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator and a sex blogger, and as of tomorrow, I have been on testosterone for 1 year.
Yay! Happy anniversary! What? Ooh. That's not a good pun. I could probably come up with a better one if I had thought about it or prepared at all. Seriously, though, that's an amazing milestone. I'm really proud of you.
Yeah, it's cool. The cool thing about being trans is, like, you get two birthdays.
And two puberties.
I am celebrating this one as a birthday, though, because I'm that kind of person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, live a celebratory life. I'm here for it. So we're doing something a little different this week. I am going to interview Bex about tea. It's kind of weird. It's like you're a host, but also a guest. You're sort of, it's a bisexual sort of situation. No, that doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean, though? Like,
kind of.
I haven't had enough coffee.
I was talking to someone recently, and was just, like, getting to know them. And I was like, yeah, I'm, a bisexual verse switch who's poly, and they were like, so you're greedy, you get everything. And I was like, a little bit, yeah. Because I was like, I literally have both for every option that there is. And I was like, well,
both or all or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, D, all of the above for literally all of my sexuality.
Wonderful. You're just really open to the buffet of life. I'm proud of you. You've come so far. Okay, let's talk about testosterone. Okay, so it was actually like a pretty like difficult decision for you, as I recall, to decide whether or not to go on T. And you wrote a whole blog post about it, which is one of my favorite posts you've ever written about how you came to that decision. So tell me about that. How and why did you decide to go on testosterone?
So what was really tricky for me in deciding was that a lot of my dysphoria was not around my body. A lot of my dysphoria was social dysphoria, meaning I felt really uncomfortable with how the world perceived me as a woman. Mm-hmm. But looking down, like, my body didn't make me feel intensely discomfortable. Discomfortable, that's what I'm going to go with. intensely uncomfortable in the way that a lot of other trans folks describe it. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of complicated feelings around being not trans enough to want to start T. And because I, like, really appreciated and enjoyed my body, and I couldn't picture what I would look like after T. So, like, I had a lot of confidence. I was cute, and I was afraid to lose that because I knew testosterone would change my body, and, like, it felt vain, but I didn't want to be less attractive when I was done.
Mm-hmm.
So that was also a big part. One of the things my therapist at the time told me, though, was that you don't have to hate something to want to change it, which is super fucking clever. I don't know if the rest of the world knows that. She should do a TED talk or some shit.
TED Tosterone. The puns are
you'll
not
get a good testosterone pun by the end of this episode. I believe in you.
I'll find one that won't make you testosterone.
Oh,
sorry, proceed. So you don't have to hate something to want to change it. So you didn't hate it, but you wanted to change it.
Yeah, I wanted to change the way the world perceived me. And when I started, I was definitely searching for something more androgynous. Mm-hmm. I was trying to get to, like, a middle area, but the more I've been on T, the more comfortable I am with the idea of presenting very mask. I don't want to be stealth or, like, meaning I don't want to not tell anyone I'm trans, but I want the option of being stealth if I want it in a moment. Like, I don't want to have to disclose I'm trans to everyone all the time. I want to be able to pass as a dude when I want to be stealth, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that totally makes sense, and it's totally understandable why you would want that, because, like, sometimes that's a safety issue, and other times it's just, like, a social comfort issue, so, yeah.
It's fucking exhausting explaining transness to everyone.
Yeah.
right now I'm at about 40% of the time I pass. Mm-hmm. And my testosterone is relatively low levels. I do 0.3 cc's every week, but they did just up it, so we'll see how that goes.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about when you first started doing it and you had to start, like, doing the injections and stuff. Like, was that difficult for you to learn how to do that?
The process was, like, 15 minutes in the doctor's office of them showing me. Mm-hmm. And it, for the most part, is relatively simple. I'm not super squicked by needles, so it there wasn't that to get over. And the needles I use, the syringes, the needle is so thin that 90% of the time I don't even really feel it.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that weird, like, surreal moment of watching something disappear into your skin, because I inject in my belly. So watching it, like, disappear into my belly is a weird feeling for a minute. But it doesn't, it, like, a lot of the times I don't even feel it, so the process of doing it is relatively easy.
Mm-hmm. And is it easier for you to remember to do it every week? Because, like, when I was on birth control medication, I was like, I can't fucking remember to do this every day, so I guess I'm probably going to get pregnant. Whoops.
I have an alarm on my phone.
That's smart. Yep.
Yeah, it's on my Google Calendar. It's a reoccurring event.
Clever.
Every time, there are certain times, though, because it shows up at the top of my Google Calendar, which I check all the time, because I'm like that. But there are times when I don't see it in the morning, and, like, half the day goes, and I'm like, fuck, testosterone, shit, and I have to, like, handle it later, but I don't have to do it specifically, like, within a certain hour span. I can do it at any time in the day and be fine.
Mm. Cool, cool. How did people in your life react when you told them that you were going to start tea, or in some cases when you told them that you had started tea?
So, my friends at work, I wanted to tell almost everyone before I start. I wanted to tell everyone before I started, but then telling my mom did not go well, and she was supposed to be the easier of my two parents, so I haven't quite gotten around to telling my dad yet, mm-hmm. which is, I have facial hair now, so not much, but a little bit, and I should, like, handle that, but, ugh. But when I told my, like, queer community, everyone was like, yeah, sounds right, okay, cool. like, it was not a new thing for any of them to hear. Most of those folks knew someone who was on tea already anyway. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them were there for the process of me deciding. And then when I told my vanilla friends, like, my work friends, who I spend a lot of time with, and they're, like, my closest local friends, who none of them probably knew trans folks before me. I told them, I was like, you know, so I'm starting a medication. It's going to make me look more masculine. And all of them just went, all right. Like, one of them said, okay, and then continued the other conversation he was talking about video games. And I was like, this is a big moment in my life, you guys. And they were like, okay, whatever. And I was like, use he pronouns for me for now on. And they were like, okay. And then they just started doing it. Like, they're really good at it. And, like, I really appreciate them, because I know that they don't get it. And a lot of times, like, they've asked me stupid questions and stuff, but whatever I answer, they're just like, okay, sure. Like, they don't argue with me about my own lived experience, which you'd be amazed how many people want to do that. They just kind of accept my truth as my truth and call me what I want to be called. And then what's really valuable for me is I don't have to think about being trans all the time when I'm with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just another facet of my identity, which is really, really cool and really valuable to have that space.
Yeah, I'm really happy you have that. That was really good and cool of them to be so chill about it. So what were the first effects you started to notice when you went on tea?
So I noticed a lot of energy the first week. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much of that was related to the testosterone itself, because I don't even drink caffeine, because my body reacts really strongly to anything that is designed to give me energy like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it was a reaction to the testosterone, because I felt like I was vibrating out of my skin for the first week. But also, I have bipolar 2, so I don't know if I was, which I didn't know that I had at the time. So I don't, thinking back, that might have also been hypomania in, yeah, like, this relief and excitement of getting the thing done.
Yeah, I also have bipolar, and I definitely find that if I go through something that's, like, really exciting like that, I will often, it'll trigger a hypomanic episode. It's pretty, yeah, reliable. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was that or somewhere in between there that I felt all of this energy. And then you have this moment where you're looking for changes. So you're looking over your body and seeing like this peach fuzz and stuff. And you have like, was that hair always there? Was it, is there more of it? Maybe I should start counting hairs just to see. So there's a lot of that. And then the first thing I saw that was like irrefutably a result of the testosterone was my clit grew. Mm-hmm. And noticing that, and I had sent a picture to my partner at the time, and I looked at the picture and I was like, that is not what my bits look like. That's new. But I didn't say anything. And then I sent it to him and he was like, so your junk looks different. I was like, I know, right? So that was the first thing that I noticed that was irrefutably, absolutely a result of the tea. And that has continued, and it grew quite a bit, because when I first, before I started testosterone, my clit was like almost imperceptibly small. Mm-hmm. I could feel it, but you couldn't really like pick it out. If you're looking at my junk, you couldn't be like, oh, clearly that is the clit. And now you absolutely can. When, because clits get hard the same way a factory-installed dicks do. And when it does, it, like, now hangs past my labia in a way it didn't before. Mm-hmm. Which is a process of getting used to. Mm-hmm. Because I imagine it would be similar to being circumcised as an adult, where, like, parts of your bits that didn't usually come in contact with your clothes are now coming in contact with your clothes and are super sensitive. Mm-hmm. So I had that to deal with for a little while, which is not comfortable. But you get used to it.
And you told me that you were noticing things about the shape of your bits that you hadn't noticed before, like about having like a coronal ridge is how you described it to me.
Yeah, so I can see distinctly if I'm looking down at my junk, because like, taking a picture from the front looks very different, but when I'm looking down at my junk, I can see, like, where the head of my clit ends, mm-hmm. and there is, like, a little bit of a ridge there. Not totally like a dick, but, like, I can see that there is a head of my clit and a little bit of a shaft.
And, that's so cool. Like,
yeah, it kind of moves into the hood, like I'm pulling the hood back and seeing space that is also a little bit the hood. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's really cool to see, knowing what a clit is shaped like and being able to see a little bit of that on my own body is really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was so fascinated when you told me that. I was like, wow, sex nerd alert over here. But yeah. So tell me about some of the other physical changes you noticed in your body when you started on tea.
So I have a lot more hair, though not as much as I expected. I'm very Italian, and this is still taking a while. Like, I expected to wake up as a lumberjack one day, just, like, with the flannel and the axe in my hand. And just, like, the beard down my chest. And, like, my brother had a full beard at, like, 16, 17. Mm-hmm. So I have the hair in my family. It's just a matter of getting there. So I have the hair on, like, my legs and my underarms have gotten thicker, but it's patchy in areas. Like, part of it goes around to the back of my leg and other parts don't. but it's definitely thicker and definitely growing in. I have hair on my belly, more pubic hair, very light peach fuzz on my chest. And one of the other things that testosterone does physically is redistribute your fat, which I haven't noticed as much. It has moved into my belly a little bit more than it used to be, but it's still very much in my hips, which I'm hoping will move more in, like, the next year, because I have very wide hips. Part of also what I've been doing is going to the gym to build up my thighs and my shoulders and back area, because that will make my hips look smaller if those are larger. It also has changed the shape of my face, which I'm not great at language for. but I have a picture in my post about this where I show my face pre-testosterone, 6 months on T and a year on T, kind of in between pre-T and where I'm at now. There were moments where, like, I don't know if my face went through a transitional stage or I was just getting used to it, but there were moments where I did not like how my face looked because it just, it felt weird and not like mine and kind of felt like I was going through that ugly duckling stage that a lot of people go through on their first time on T, where everything is kind of in transition and looks a little wonky. But now I'm much happier with how my face is, so, like, give it a minute. If you're starting hormones, it may take a second to kind of balance out or for you to get used to what you look like. I think my jaw has broadened.
I mean, I don't know. I can't confirm or deny because, like, definitely your face looks different to me. But yeah, I have a hard time describing exactly how.
Yeah, I don't have the language for it, unfortunately. But, like, go look at the picture. My face is different. We could also make it the picture for this episode.
Yes, we could and we will.
Excellent.
Yep.
So one of my favorite and the most interesting thing that has changed about my body that I didn't fully expect. I had seen some stuff around in, like, writing or whatever, but it wasn't something I thought about a lot pre-testosterone, was the way my body smell changes. So I sweat a lot more. And my body odor smells differently. So does my piss and my cum.
So fascinating.
Right? I smell just more masculine, which means a couple of things. First of all, you get very used to what you smell like. You may not recognize it, but your body learns to kind of tune out what you smell like, right? Unless there's something drastic, unless you need a shower or whatever, then your nose is like, hey, we can smell ourselves. but generally, you tune out what you smell like because you smell yourself all the time. Well, for the first time in 26 years, I smell different, and my nose is like, what is that smell? All of the time. So I'm convinced that I smell bad all of the time. which is really stressful. But I, like, from my understanding from the people around me, I don't smell all the time. It's just me being used to it. It's just a matter of me getting used to it. The other tricky thing, though, is I am primarily into masculine of center folks. And I am super into the way they smell, which I was a little bit before, but more so after testosterone. Even, like, fresh out of the gym, covered in sweat, like, really intense body smells, I super like. Which is interesting, considering I now smell like that. I don't entirely know what to do with that all of the time. Because, like, it's me. It's my body. But also, I smell like people I'm into all the time. So, that's weird.
So that's a bunch of the physical stuff. But I'm curious how the testosterone has changed you mentally and emotionally. Like, how you feel differently in those ways.
So What's interesting is there were a lot of things that I didn't super feel great about pre-testosterone, or things that I wanted to be better at. Like, I wanted to be more social. I wanted to be, like, to have the drive to bond with people more. I wanted to have more energy to get out and do things. But I was exhausted all the time and, like, overwhelmed by the idea of talking to people. Like, my social energy was so low all of the time. And one of the things testosterone did was actually not just give me more energy in life, but give me more of that social energy. I'm still an introvert. I still need to recharge. But I have more bandwidth for socializing and interacting with people. And I am more interested in building bonds and better at it, because when you're interested, you are. Even just, like, my connection with my cat, I'm like, I love you so much, you're a precious gift to this world. In a way that, like, I wasn't always before, which is really cool. It also gave me less patience in a way that I think is good for me. Like, I haven't gotten over the top aggressive, although occasionally I get angry. But generally, I've just kind of have less patience for putting up with bullshit. and, like, just want to, like, get to the point and get things done and, like, use your words and let's talk about this and figure it out. Mm-hmm. Which, again, all things that, like, I was really passive before and was just like, oh, I guess that's okay, sure. And now I'm like, bitch, it's not okay. Let's talk about it. Let's figure it out.
That's so interesting, though, because, like, there's so much discourse around, like, how gendered socialization leads women to be more passive and more accommodating, and men to be less those things, which I think is really true. But then also what you're suggesting is that there might also be a biological basis for some of that. I mean, obviously we can, like, overcome those feelings and, like, train ourselves into different patterns of behavior, but it's really interesting that hormones can affect that.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is because I was socialized as a woman, I still have that kind of training in the back of my head. Mm-hmm. So I kind of strike this interesting balance now of that kind of directness and less tolerance for being passive all of the time. And it kind of, it made me more assertive, but not more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a nice skill to have, because I was very passive before, to my own detriment, in a way that I am not now. And then there's a lot of discourse around anger and testosterone, which is real. Like, there have been moments where I just felt, like, surges of anger in similar ways to when I used to PMS, in that, like, I am very angry right now, and it is entirely reasonable that I'm angry, but maybe we're just, like, a little over the top here. Like, maybe we could dial it back just a tiny bit. Like, it's valid that you're angry, but maybe not this angry. So I do have that a little bit, but that has not happened frequently, maybe less than 10 times over the course of the year. What I have noticed, though, is a lot of that anger turned inward. So I had, in the past, I've had, you know, anxieties and self-loathing feelings and that kind of thing. But they got a hell, like, that internal voice got a hell of a lot meaner, in ways that I was not expecting and in ways that were, like, more violent and more angry. But it was more directed at myself than directed at the world. And it was hella scary when it first started. And now I'm just like, well, I guess this is my life.
I mean, you're working on it, too. Like, you're, you know, you're in therapy. And
yeah. So. Oh, yeah. No, I didn't just, like, accept this shit and move on. Like, I have a lot going on in my brain. So definitely, like, taking care of that.
Yeah. The anger is, like, one of the first things I knew about transmasculine folks going on TE before I knew anybody who had done it, because there was this storyline on The L Word, which I watched a lot when I was a teenager, where one of the characters transitioned and went on T, and he became so angry and mean and everything that his girlfriend broke up with him because he was like not the person who she fell in love with, she felt. And that was like a pretty negative picture of what that can be like. And I was always worried about that happening to my friends who transitioned, but like I've been through it with a bunch of friends now, and I've never seen anybody like blow up like the dude on that show did. So I think it's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I can think back of one moment where there was like, I was trying to get things done and there was a bunch of stuff in my way, and that stuff shouldn't have been there in the first place, but people weren't listening to me and they moved it and I couldn't get around it to get to the thing I needed. And I just like swung and hit all of it across the room and then was like, oh, that was maybe a lot. Then I like walked around and picked it all back up. I was like, well, all right. But that's like the one instance in like a year. And it was on, like, a stressful day as it is and everything. Mm-hmm. So, like, it does happen, but not in a way that was, like, completely overwhelming. Like I said, that's a thing that I might have done while PMSing in the past.
Yeah.
So it's definitely there, but not in a completely new way.
I read an article at one point, which I can't remember anything about it, except that it had this argument in it, that when folks who have a uterus go through PMS and that sort of, like, irritability and stuff, that's when their hormones are actually closest to, like, what cis men's hormones are like most or all of the time, which makes a lot of sense to me with, like, what I've learned from you and also just, like, how I personally feel during those times. Like, I definitely feel like I'm, like, more assertive and, like, more inclined to get pissed off at people. But it's, like, it's not inauthentic. Like, people often present PMS as, like, inauthentic rage that isn't warranted. But it's, like, I just get pissed off about things more easily, but they're things that deserve it. So...
Yeah, exactly. Like, I hate that, like, oh, you're just PMSing narrative, and it's like, right, so I'm talking about this thing that pisses me off all the time.
Right.
but now I'm just opening my goddamn mouth about it.
Yeah, you should be thanking me. Okay, we gotta talk about sex stuff, because this is a sex show, I guess.
Before we do that, I did not mention that my voice changed, but, like, y'all have been listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
So I sound like this now.
Oh, you know what's fun is go back and listen to a super early episode of our show and compare. You'll be like, what the fuck? Because for me, like, I heard it happen so gradually that I didn't even really notice or think about it that much. I was like, I guess you sound a little gravelly. I don't know. And then I go back and listen to the old ones. I'm like, holy fuck. So different.
Yeah. Every time I do that, I'm like, oh. But yeah, my voice is the first thing that, like, anytime I see someone who I haven't seen in a couple months, they're like, oh my god! And I'm like, yeah. About that.
It's great. I really like your voice now. It suits you really well.
Yeah, I really like it too. And I didn't get squeaky in the way that, like, people joke about, or at least not that much. Mm-hmm. My voice cracked occasionally, but it was more I just found out there were sounds that I couldn't make anymore. And I only found out by trying, which it would just suddenly be silence. Like, I can't woo anymore. Like, the way you would cheer at a concert,
uh-huh.
No sound comes out. I have to settle for, like, the more manly, yeah! Because, like, that's all I've got.
Oh, that's why they do that.
Yeah, I was at a Fall Out Boy show, and I, like, kept trying to woo, and there was just nothing. And I was like, all right, welp.
A fun discovery. Okay, sex stuff. I want to know how your sex drive has changed and how your attractions have changed and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, so sex drive went up. It does that.
Uh-huh, I've heard of it.
I always had, like, a relatively high sex drive, but also depression sometimes took that from me. But at this point, even when I'm depressed, I just sad masturbate. it's not, it, that doesn't quite go away in the same way it used to. I get off at least once a day, sometimes more.
Mm-hmm.
That's just always there. But like I said, I didn't have a particularly low sex drive before, so it felt more like reclaiming my sex drive after depression than it did anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And because my bits have changed, the way I touch them has changed. I used to just hold a magic wand against me and be like, that's generally near my clit, yeah? but now I can actually, like, grab my clit between my fingers and jerk it off, which is really fun and cool and feels really cool. Like, I never got off with my hands before, and now I do it semi-frequently. I'm out of the habit because I never used to do it, but every time I remember it exists, I'm like, oh yeah, I should do that. I have a finger vibe that I use that I will, like, hold the vibe on one hand and my fingers on one side of my clit and my fingers on the mm-hmm. other and kind of jerk off that way. Also, I don't usually call it my clit, I call it my dick, so we're just gonna switch to that now, because every time I say that, I'm like, ooh, that's weird. but, like, for clarity's sake.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's new. Attraction-wise, I got gayer. Like, my attractions were always mask-leaning, but I don't know, they're just more stereotypically gay now. Mm-hmm. I crave, like, gay cliches, like locker rooms and shit. I love, like, really getting into this, like, gross, grungy kind of sexuality where, like, that's part of what's hot. Like, sweaty armpits and, like, piss play and stuff like that where it's, like, edgy because, like, it's a little bit icky but also really hot.
Mm-hmm.
And not, that stuff isn't exclusive to gay men or masculinity in general, but they're things that are generally coded as masculine.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that that stuff I got way more into. I don't know how much of that is testosterone and how much of that is moving more into my identity as a gay male, because I find that shit affirming, mm-hmm. because it's stuff that's socialized for gay men. But I think it's somewhere in between with that stuff, because it's hot to me in a visceral way that I think is more than just, oh, it's affirming to think about that. You know?
Yeah. It's really interesting to me how it changes attractions, because, like, I have had a number of friends and acquaintances who have transitioned, and a lot of them were, like, more attracted to women or femme people before they transitioned, and then were much more interested in men afterward. And it was enough where I was like, that's a very interesting pattern. And then when I went to Alt Sex last month, we saw Buck Angel speak. He's a mess who we have beef with, but he did say something pretty interesting, which is that having interviewed hundreds of trans men for his Sexing the Trans Man project, he said that every single one of them was more attracted to cis men after they transitioned. I have a feeling he might have been being slightly hyperbolic, because even when he said that, I was like, really? Every single one, Buck? but, I mean, even if he was, that's still a pretty interesting pattern, and I really wonder what's at play there.
Yeah. Something that's interesting, though, I was always more mask-leaning in my attractions.
Mm-hmm.
But my attraction to women and femmes also really evolved in a way that I am more attracted to them than I was in the past, too, because I had conceptualized sex with women as, like, lesbian sex, right? Sex with someone similar to me, like, they were almost supposed to be reflecting my femininity back at me,
mm-hmm.
and that didn't feel right for me, it didn't feel like I was having sex with someone a similar gender to me or the same gender for me. And that felt weird to me, and I could never put my finger on why, but I was just like, I guess I'm not that into women then.
Mm-hmm.
But with testosterone, the idea of it being sex with someone other and someone different from my gender, it's way hotter to me now. And the idea of having a more, like, being a more mask-presenting person, having sex with women and femmes, feels much, much better to me. Also, like, having a lot of feelings about femdoms that I didn't have before. Because I just want to get beat up by pretty girls. So that's also a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it totally makes sense to me that, like, coming into your identity in a way that feels good for you would open up your avenues sexually in whatever way makes sense for you. Because, like, even me as a cis person, I know that when I'm feeling more confident and more like myself, it makes me want to have sex more. So, like, that is awesome. I'm happy that you're finding that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super fun.
Is there anything you haven't mentioned so far that was, like, a really surprising effect that you saw?
I think the body smell thing was the most surprising thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, like I said, I had seen some stuff somewhere, but that really, I was like, oh, interesting. That and what was surprising in the scary way was that more, like, inward-turned violence kind of stuff. My, like, suicidal ideation went up, like, whoa. Which I wish someone had mentioned. Like, a heads up about that might have been great. Yeah. And I don't know that it's a universal experience, but, like, when it first happened, within, like, the first week or the first couple of weeks, I was like, what the fuck is this? Because it was one of my... And it could have also been, like, because I had the high of that hypomania and then dropped off into this depression, it was one of the lowest lows I've had.
Mm-hmm.
And just recognizing that that was a potential with testosterone, because as soon as I, like, attributed it to what was going on, I was like, oh, okay, I can get through this, because it's probably related to my new medication. But not recognizing that at first was real scary for a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something else you told me that, I don't know if this is still true, because you told me this a while ago, but you mentioned to me that being on testosterone had made you more visual in the way you were consuming porn and stuff.
Oh, yeah, it did. I watch a lot more porn now. And yeah, no, it absolutely did. Also, part of that is watching more porn, like finding porn that is hotter to me as mm-hmm. well. Because again, socialized as a woman, I was looking at, for some reason, I was under this impression that I had to watch porn that had images of people like me in it. Which is totally a thing that is super affirming for some people. But I was watching porn with women in it, or just exclusively women, or straight porn, and I was like, I mean, this is fine. This is cool. Now I watch really gay shit, and I'm like, oh, this is fucking hot! Right, I'm a dude! So stuff like Bonus Hall Boys that have trans men in it is super hot. But also just, like, straight-up gay porn. I've been watching Cocky Boys a lot recently, which I just feel like that whole website is directly calling me out. Because it's just full of really pretty boys, which is exactly my type. Like, every time I go on their website, I'm like, God, really, guys? Come on. But yeah, I think... in the past, I read a lot of porn, and now I watch a lot more than I used to.
Yeah. That's so interesting, because, again, it's a thing where, like, there's, like, so many gendered stereotypes about how men are more visual, and there's been a lot of discourse, I think rightfully so, about how a lot of that is socialization, and a lot of it has to do with, like, the types of media we have available to us. Like, for example, maybe straight women aren't gonna identify with the mainstream porn that's made for men, because it's, like, very objectifying toward their bodies, and, like, that's not necessarily fun to watch. But it's really interesting to hear from you and your experiences with T that, like, maybe there is a hormonal basis for some of those differences. But again, like, you know, we're all different, and there's you can't, like, generalize this to everybody.
Yeah, one of the things I really noticed starting T was how different it feels in my body, in the ways that, like, I was like, oh, a lot of this is socialization. And also a lot of this is hormonal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of shit that is chemistry. And that was really interesting to me, because I didn't expect to notice that as much. I expected mm-hmm. a lot of physical changes, but not a lot of changes in the way I felt. And that was one of the things that scared me the most, is that it was going to change, like, these core parts of me, of who I was, because the thought of it changing how I thought about things felt like changing me, right? Like, I don't know that I believe in the idea of a soul. I believe in a bunch of chemistry in my brain. So, like, changing that chemistry, how much of that is me, right?
Right.
Which is how I feel on any medication. Like, I was starting brain meds, same thing worrying me. But both of them, I think, changing those things doesn't have to be bad, and both of them have kind of supplemented things that I always aspired to be.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting to me that the ways I changed were the ways I wanted to change, almost as if, like, the chemistry of my body craved starting testosterone because it almost knew that was what it needed. Yeah. Right, in the way, like, you crave the you crave red meat when you need protein or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, I don't know if there's any fucking basis in that, and it's a little, even a little woo for my taste, but it's it's interesting to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. Bodies are cool.
Yeah.
You didn't tell me about your orgasms, though, and I do have to know everything about that, so.
Oh, right. So those, I have those, frequently now. In the past, I was very prone to multiple orgasms. I would have a bunch of small ones, and I could feel it in my body that, like, I wasn't done.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be like, nope, gotta have another one. And there would be times where I'm like, I guess I just keep going until I'm finished with this then. But I don't have that so much anymore. Now I have one that feels like my old orgasms used to feel like, right? The ones where I would be like, oh, I'm done now. That was the one. Mm-hmm. Now I pretty much only have that one. And I do have a little bit of a refractory period that I didn't have before. One thing that's interesting is my fantasies around getting off. Oh, geez, I don't know if I want to share this, but I guess we're invested now.
You don't have to. Nobody will force you.
Now, here we are. is that a lot of times in whatever I'm fantasizing about, because I tend to pick, like, a pretty consistent narrative that I'm fantasizing about. Occasionally I go through, like, the Rolodex of fantasies, but I tend to pick on one that runs through the entire duration of jerking off. rather than just, like, clips of hot things. Mm-hmm. And what I tend to imagine when I'm getting off is, because I'm usually thinking about fucking people with a penis, thinking about them getting off in me, because mm-hmm. the idea of dicks coming feels more in line with, I guess, how it would feel to get off for me.
Mm-hmm.
Which I always thought was really interesting. I also move a lot more when I'm jerking off. I used to just lay the fuck down and, like, my arm moved because I was playing with dicks and, like, thrusting or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it was pretty much just, like, my hands moving around my junk to get myself off. Now I'm much more prone to, like, riding a dill or, like, humping my magic wand or something. Like, I want to move. I want to feel it in my hips when I'm getting off,
mm-hmm.
which I think is super interesting in, like, biological kind of functional kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's also a thing.
Cool. Wow. Magic. I have learned so much about bodies.
They're so cool.
Okay, one last question. If there's someone listening who is considering going on T or has recently started it or whatever, what's your advice? What's the advice you wish someone had given you when you started or when you were about to start?
Be patient.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not going to happen quickly. But I think if it did happen quickly, it would be a lot more terrifying, honestly.
Mm.
And you don't have to be fully ready. Like, your identity can evolve while you're on T, and it can change, and that's okay. I'm sure mine is going to continue to change. And I had a lot of really complicated feelings about originally, before starting T, feeling very non-binary. And now I still I feel like my transness, not everyone's transness, but my transness is inherently non-binary, because I feel really connected to the parts of me that were socialized as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to restart. I'm not trying to eliminate that. And some trans folks do, and that's cool. And they want to, like, fully, there is an end point on their transition and there is something they want to become. And that's super cool. But for me, it was way more fluid. And I have definitely, I felt really guilty for moving away from that non-binary identity to a more, like, comfortably trans male identity. But I think recognizing the fact that your identities are going to evolve, and that that's okay, and you're not doing a disservice to who you were when you started transition. And you don't have to stick with it. For the most part, most of the things testosterone does can be reversed. Your junk isn't going to shrink and your voice isn't going to change again. And if you've grown hair somewhere, you're not going to stop growing hair in that place, but you're not going to grow hair in more places. Mm-hmm. So, like, I have very light peach fuzz on my upper lip. If I stop testosterone right now, I will always have peach fuzz on my upper lip and I will have to shave it. But I'm not going to start growing a beard.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, testosterone, I think of kind of like a piercing. You can take it out, and there will still be a scar there. There will still be, like, remains of what happened. But you can take it out. You can be done with it. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. And once I kind of conceptualized testosterone as a body mod, which is something I do really regularly, instead of this, like, huge life-changing thing that I'm gonna do, I was able to recognize more what it actually meant, and it was, for me, it was a body mod that I was using to change my body to look more the way I wanted to, the same way the tattoo on my forearm that I just got changes the way I present to the world, because it was something that was important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think taking a little bit of pressure off of yourself to have all of the answers when you first start is helpful.
Good advice. Cool. Thank you, folks, for listening to this episode, and thank you, Bex, for sharing all of this vulnerable stuff with us. I'm really happy for you and proud of you, and congrats on a year.
Aw, thanks.
I have been Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net and the rest of my writing at katewritesaboutsex.com. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where is your stuff?
I'm Bex. You can find all my writing at BexTalkSex.com, where I have been writing all month about trans things, so that's a lot. I swear I'll get back to weird sex stuff soon. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BexTalkSex. Together we're the Dildorks. We're at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram and at thedildorks.com. You can also find us by searching the Dildorks in your favorite podcast app. While you're there, rate and review us. It brings us up in the charts and makes us easier for other sex nerds to find.
Thank you so much to Protodome, who did our theme song, I Want You in My Bedroom. It's on his album Chip Funk, which you can find at protodome.bandcamp.com. And thank you to Amy, who is at starboots_ on Twitter. She did our logo for us, and it's beautiful. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye. Okay, my phone company just texted me, but it wasn't anything important. Thanks, great.
That sounds like them, yeah. Did they update their privacy policy? Is that what they texted you?
No, there's some kind of new feature that they're offering me that I don't need.
Oh, that's less fun.
I've gotten like 50 of those emails today. I'm so over it.
Same. Everywhere I go, they're like, so our privacy policy. And I'm like, bitch, I know.